I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Please be seated. So I had a seminary classmate who was serving a small church in, I think, northern Illinois, that the founding priest of that church, he wasn't there anymore, but the priest that founded the church, their first rector, was also a wood carver. And so he made a lot of the furniture around the altar, instead of including the altar, which they then had in chapel. And on that altar, he wanted to carve those words you just heard Jesus say, Alpha and Omega. As you see, if you can see this far up, that's what's on our altar. That little A, looks like an A, is the Greek Alpha letter, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And the horseshoe is an Omega, which is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Unfortunately, this priest, while being an excellent wood carver, was not really good with Greek. So when he carved those into that altar, he did an A looking alpha and an O for Omicron, not Omega, right? So Omicron is looks like our letter O, and so they are proudly proclaiming on that altar that Jesus is the first and somewhere in the middle, which is what I want to talk to you about today. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to talk about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega? I think it's interesting to talk about that. We may proclaim, I think, or at least agree, that Jesus is the first and the last, right? He was there from the beginning of creation. He'll be there. Revelation, that's the last chapter of Revelation we heard from today, when he comes again and forever and ever until the end of all the ages. So he's the first and the last in our lives, in the world, in the universe, in all of creation, in all things that matter and things that don't matter much. First in our hearts, through and through to the end of all things, is Jesus. Jesus is the bookends, and all that we do and say are in between those times, right, are about Jesus. So he's the first and the last, and lifts up everything that's in between that. And that's a strong theological statement for us to kind of struggle with today. Because I think we do say it, we do proclaim it, we do sing it, but do we live it? And are we really more closely, Jesus is first and somewhere in the middle kind of people, when it's convenient, when the world lures us and draws us to other ways? This is the last Sunday of the Easter season. Next week is Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church. But look, we're not there yet, and Easter season still has something to teach us. And I think that inaccurately carved altar is where we can start today, where you can start, where I can start, is Jesus the beginning and the end for you in all things in your life. I think that's a question Jesus wants us to answer. We can look no further than the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, which we heard as our gospel today. But as we do so, I want to remind you of another very important passage of Scripture that we heard a couple weeks ago. For I think it has a wonderful and powerful connection to this gospel for today. A gospel that I think may be one of the most important gospel lessons we ever hear for how we are to live, how we are to be disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, striving to truly live with Jesus as first and last in all things. So you may recall a couple weeks ago we had the passage from Acts when Peter is confronted by God in a vision to accept the Gentiles into the church. That's us, by the way. And in that vision, a sheet of food comes down from heaven, and on that sheet was all this unclean, non-kosher food that Peter had been taught his entire life, you cannot eat this. And a voice from heaven says, get up and eat. And Peter says, no, I've never let anything unclean pass through my lips. And God says, I can make anything clean. And it's not what goes through your mouth, it's what comes out of it that needs to be clean. And Peter wakes up with a whole new idea about what to do with these Gentiles. And he's met by Cornelius, who's a Gentile soldier who desires to follow Jesus, to learn about Jesus, really to make Jesus first and last in his life. And Peter says, welcome, and baptizes him, and then says these very famous, to me at least, words, who am I anyway to hinder God? Who am I to hinder God with rules and regulations and things like what kind of food you can eat? What a powerful and important thing to say, yet it seems to me, for 2,000 years after Peter says this, people in the church, and I mean the church universal, have kept trying to do exactly that, to hinder God. I think those people are basically Alpha and Omicron people. They can proclaim Christ as Savior, but they also want to be gatekeepers determining who can be part of this, who is in and who is out. They've used things, you know about it, like language or race or skin color or economic status or gender or sexuality to slam the door, to close the gate, to reject folks or at least insist on segregation. It was wrong from the very beginning. As Peter learned, it's wrong today. And Jesus knew it, which is why he says what he says in today's gospel. You want me to be first and last in your life? Then all those who believe in me must learn how to treat one another as one. To really love as I have loved you. Not halfway. Not in the middle. Not when it's convenient. Not when it's easy. But from the first to the end. In that gospel we heard today, Jesus prays. And he says this, I ask not only on behalf of these, that's the 12 disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. Well, that's me and you. And I ask that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, and I are one. You are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's a purpose for it. This is evangelism, folks. The world will know that Jesus was sent by God if we can figure out how to get along, the people of God. Jesus is saying, in other words, I claim these things, Son of God, Prince of Peace, Savior of the world, Lamb of God, Forgiver of sins. They're not going to believe it unless you get your act together, church. It's a prophecy. He is saying, keep me first and somewhere in the middle, and the world out there won't have any reason to believe any of this to be true. And in God's wisdom, which the Bible says is foolishness to the wise, but wise wisdom to the foolish. In God's wisdom, the place that we learn and practice and repent and try again to do these things Jesus insists we do is within a community of believers. It's within the church. This is who Jesus is talking to, us, me and you, believers, disciples, followers. If we can get it right, Jesus says the world will then believe that is true. Don't we all want that? I spent most of last week as a chaplain at Camp Beckwith, our Episcopal summer camp, working with the summer camp staff all week. And one of the things I love most about church camp, and I really do love camp, is how a community is built during a camp week. It's amazing to watch it. People from all over, right? Of all shapes and sizes and backgrounds, most of whom don't know each other, show up at camp, 100 kids and staff, and they're thrown into a cabin and into these activities and challenges right from the start. And I think the biggest unspoken challenge is, how do we all get along? There's not much time to waste at camp to build a community and to learn how to respect one another and love each other and even forgive each other and lift up, cheer for one another. And the same is true for that camp staff I was working with. Although their community will be together all summer, it's still not a lot of time. They got to get it going on. They are themselves a congregation, and they are welcoming these children and youth in. And they themselves come in all shapes and sizes and belief systems. And from, trust me, from difficult home environments often. So they come from all this stuff, and they bring all their stuff with them, just like we do. And they have to learn quickly how to live fully into that community, how to treat each other, how to make amends when they mess up, how to really reflect Jesus back to one another so that those campers will see what Jesus is talking about. And it's not easy, is it? It's never easy. It's a tough chore, but it is a beautiful thing to see, warts and all. And that truth is truth for us as well. Although we have the advantage, or maybe it's a disadvantage, of much more time than a camp week or even a summer to figure this out. We being this body of Christ, striving, I hope, to make Jesus first and last, start and finish, beginning and end. I believe that means that we have to continue to practice and work on how we treat one another, fellow disciples and believers. Treat one another with a fresh kind of love. Let's shock the world with how we love and honor and respect each other. Because the truth is, and this is a generic statement about the church as it is, all the churches I've ever been a part of, some people in church can be the meanest people on earth to their fellow disciples. And what do you think that says to people that don't know Jesus? People at the church at times will ignore everything the Bible says about gossip and backstabbing and holding grudges. Look, that's leaving Jesus in the middle, folks, not letting him be all of us. not living as if Jesus Christ has completely changed every aspect of our lives. And in addition, throughout time, the people of the church have used all kinds of ways to say to those who aren't like us or whose lifestyle we might not approve of that they should perhaps maybe enjoy church somewhere else. There might be one down the road be better for you. And if God can't also make them clean the way God made me clean, that's not a first and a last kind of God, is it? Jesus is who does that. Love is what makes it happen. We are the vehicles. So who, friends, are we to hinder God? And who are we to ignore these final words from Jesus himself that we hear today? These words are spoken to the disciples just before he is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and taken to the cross. It's his last chance to speak to them. So to me, that says, this is the most important thing I've ever had to say. Please get this right. I looked at those camp staffers. They're 16 to 24 years old, and I wonder about what our grown-up behavior is teaching them. As our nation continues to separate over really silly, made-up ways to divide us, as we continue to be driven by fear and not love, as the gap grows and the conversations deteriorate, I am convinced we're living into exactly what Jesus and Peter warned us about. Who are we to hinder God? To not see God in the other, especially those we don't agree with. To not accept one another right where we are and see the face of Jesus in each of us. To embrace our differences and yet still live as one. To get to know each other and to pledge right here and right now, we will speak lovingly to one another. We have to practice that. We have to show the world we can do that. We can disagree peacefully and constructively with one another. That we will, with all that we have and all that we are and all that we can be, decide now and always to make our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, make him the first and the last in our lives, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, all of it, and allow that to change us at the very core of who we are, at our being, and at the very heart of our relationships with each other. It's a calling. And it's for all of us. My brothers and sisters, listen. It is the time, I believe, for Omicron kind of Jesus is past. We, you and I, have a duty and a responsibility to be as one, as Jesus commanded the disciples so many years ago. We preach to the world of unbelievers by how we love and live and repent and in all times and all things look at others the same way that we want Jesus to look at us. We must be the Alpha and Omega believing people of God. The whole shebang, start to finish, beginning to end, every breath we take. If we can do that, then, Jesus says, then the world will know. And then perhaps these words from the book of Revelation can come true. Come, Lord Jesus, come soon. May we be the people who light the way. Amen.